Welcome back to episode 4 of the Beaver Dam. I'm your host, Patrick Spellman, and joined alongside me is my new co-host, who I am so excited to announce today, Grant Ingham. Grant, how are you doing today? And go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone and all of our listeners.
I'm doing good, Pat. Really happy to be here. My name is Grant Ingham. I'm a sophomore here at Bluffton University, marketing and sports management dual major. I play soccer here, and yeah, very excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have Grant. Grant and I talk about sports all of the time. And fun fact about Grant is that he did not miss a single basketball game last year. And at halftime of every game, when Trent and I would always get a little bit of a break to, you know, rest our voice, we would always go up, talk to Grant and the rest of his friends. And so Grant and I had expressed interest in wanting to do the show together. And with Trent deciding to leave, it left the perfect opportunity to bring Grant in. Obviously, he's a couple episodes late just because of trying to figure everything out with COVID. So I'm in one room recording while Grant is in another room. So it's really weird, like, having a conversation here with Grant, but he can't actually see me. So Grant, you're not getting the full effect, but welcome to the Beaver Dam.
Yeah, happy to be here. It's very awkward talking in a room, trying to talk across a building to you, but also having that personal, you know, conversation is difficult, but, you know, getting through it, pandemic time, it's whatever.
Yeah, and we're just happy that we get to continue to do the Beaver Dam, as well as continue to give you guys some type of sports. And luckily, some of our teams have been playing, and which has allowed Grant and I to be able to have the opportunity to talk sports with you guys. So kind of the schedule for this week, we're going to start off with the results from the cross country meet last week, and then we're going to talk about the schedules being released this for this fall and upcoming spring for men's and women's soccer and football. And volleyball should be coming out soon, so we'll have that for you guys once that comes out, hopefully sometime this week. Then we're going to talk about women's golf, and then we'll finish it off with men's golf. But first, four results from last week. So the Bluffton University cross-country team was back in action on Saturday, September 12th. They actually hosted a conference-wide meet, but it was different than what you would usually expect. So first off, it was on the track, and it was only a two-mile race, so 3,200 meters. And Manchester and Transylvania were the only teams that actually traveled here to Bluffton. They're the only two teams in the conference that are actually allowing their athletes to compete this fall, which obviously cross-country season would normally be in the fall, so it is a little weird. But then conference rivals Rose Holman, Franklin, Hanover, Earlham, and Mount St. Joe also took part in the competition, because they went and ran at the same time as everyone else, and then they submitted their times. So they ran at their home tracks by themselves and then submitted their times to us to actually get full results, which, in my opinion, I think is pretty cool. You still figure out a way to have your teams compete without actually, like, risking, like, coming in contact with other athletes with the coronavirus. Grant, what do you think about that idea, and do you think it's something that we might see more often?
I think especially with cross country, it's a good idea, because you're, you know, it's an open air sport, and you're trying to compete against other schools. But it has to be a bit weird not seeing, for the Beavers here, not being able to see all nine teams, you know, in person, and you don't really know what the pace of the race is at. Kind of just trying to set your own pace and hoping it stacks up well against the rest of the competition. Had to be a bit weird, but our Beavers did well in that respect to figure out a way to, you know, rank high in the preseason conference meet.
Yeah, it was definitely, I ran cross country in high school, so I couldn't imagine, like, only have, like, not having the full competition there to, like, run against, because you normally, like, find, you know, packs to run in and kind of pace yourself based off of other runners. So not having people there to kind of pace yourself, I'm sure it was extremely hard, and especially for the schools that ran at their own home venues, it had to have been really, really weird.
Yeah, especially on a track as opposed to in actual cross country and in the woods or whatever, you know, a set course is different than on the track. Just 2 miles straight up on the at Saltzman had to be weird as well.
Yeah, just a lot of left turns instead of, you know, right, left, straightaways, you know, all of that.
It's trying to pace yourself through the race as opposed to what they normally are, even in track season when they're just trying to pace themselves lap by lap as opposed to through different turns and navigating a course is, I feel like, on the track would be easier, and being able to run at a faster pace, as some of them had been quoted in saying that it was easier to run on the track than it would be on a normal course for those reasons.
Yeah, and just a little bit of results. So the men's team placed third out of the teams that were there. Between Manchester, Transylvania, and Bluffton, the men's team did place third. But they were led by freshman Ethan Lai, who finished third place at Saltzman Stadium. That's pretty impressive as a freshman, and running a time of 10:06. So that's about a 5:03 mile pace, which is
very impressive as a freshman. First college race to come in there and do that is very impressive.
Yeah, and Ethan even stated that the track made the race so much faster than it would have been on a normal course. Combining that with intense competition made for one awesome start to the cross-country season. So you can tell he's just excited to actually have a chance to go out and compete. He's excited that they're running against other teams, which in my opinion is awesome. And that's one thing that Bluffton has done extremely well, is that they want us to be able to try and compete this fall. Obviously, we've had some pretty intense COVID restrictions and a lot of COVID testing that's going to have to be done before these meets. But in my opinion, pretty awesome and well done by Bluffton. But Grant, you got the results from the women.
The women's team did play second at Saltzman, so did do better than the men respectively, and were led by Mackenzie Brownrigg, who finished at the with a 12:51, which it was fifth at Bluffton on Saturday. And she said that she thought it was a really fun way to get back into competition and showed the strength that the women's team has. And she's really excited to see how the rest of the season plays out for them. And, yeah.
Yeah, they also were followed by two freshmen as well, and Gina Freewalt and Brooke Barnes. So
Three freshmen
at the top, which this team is made up of mostly freshmen. I would like to point that out. And for the men, they only return three guys. For the women, they return two girls. So you're going to be seeing a lot of freshmen that are going to have to step up and run big times. And when I talked with Coach Wells before the year, Grant, I don't know if you read my story or however else. I think you and I have talked about it a little bit. But Coach Wells even said, this is a young team, and with a weird season already, I don't really have any expectations, because I have a feeling results are going to change every day. There's going to be different runners in the top five each time, which Grant, with us soccer team having a very freshman heavy base team, you have guys that can step up at any time, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time to adjust to the college level.
Absolutely, running at higher paces and faster paces against better competition, people 3 or 4 years older than you, is a bit, it puts a lot of pressure on you as an athlete. But it's got to be exciting for that coaching staff to be able to have that young of a core to be able to move on year by year and just hopefully get better and better every year. So that's got to be exciting.
It definitely has to be. And the Beavers will be back in action. They had this weekend off. We'll be back in action on Saturday, September 26th at Manchester for a 7:30 p.m. Meet time. And I'm assuming it's probably going to be something very similar with only a few teams actually showing up to Manchester. But I do have to say, we do have two home meets that are going to be coming up this this October. So on Saturday, October 10th, they're going to have the Bluffton 1 mile meter virtual meet. So I believe that's when every team's going to run at their own time. But definitely would like to get students and faculty out there to help cheer them on, since they probably will not be having any type of runners there to compete against. And then on Sunday, October 25th, they're going to have Bluffton home meet number 2. So I'm assuming we could be seeing Transylvania and Manchester back here, or maybe a few other teams. You never really know, but definitely try to come out and support your Beavers. Obviously, still no outside spectators, which I'm sure it has to be extremely hard on parents. But the good thing is that there is a live feed that you can tune in and watch all of the races and get results. So I will say Bluffton has been great about, even though parents can't be there, which it has to be extremely hard, you can still watch on the live stream. We are going to move on now. So schedules were released this week by the Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference for men's and women's soccer and football. Bluffton is one of the only teams in the conference that's actually going to be playing this fall. Men's will be playing at home. Men's soccer will be playing at home and away against Adrian. And then the women's soccer team will be at Trine and then at home against Adrian on the same day that the men host Adrian. And then for football, they're going to play at Trine and host Adrian as well. So, Grant, you seeing a trend there with the teams that we're facing this fall?
Yeah, obviously it was hard to find, I'm sure, for the schools to find similar schools that are, one, allowing outside competition, and two, that have the same type of testing and protocols in place for outside competition. Obviously, Adrian in all three sports, and then Trine with women's soccer and football. Short trips for both schools, both ways, about an hour 30 to Adrian, I believe, and an hour to Trine. So easy trips that shouldn't be too strenuous on the, protocols, as I previously stated. And, yeah, I mean, just excited to see our Beavers and us play against outside competition.
I know Grant and I just can't wait. Grant and I have been in different groups during the soccer individual training session. So right now we had to be working in groups of 10 or less, and we've been in different groups. So I really feel like I haven't got to see Grant that much. And so it's great getting to talk with him here on the Beaver Dam. And I know we can't wait to just get a slide tackle or score a couple goals or get an assist or however else. We're ready. But I would like to mention, too, both teams do have to take COVID tests 72 hours beforehand, before each match or game, and they have to get those results back. If you test positive, obviously you will not be able to play in that upcoming game, and both teams have to do that, and that's per NCAA rule, and so that is something that Bluffton has been, though they have been pushing for us to play this fall, they're still making sure that we're doing it in a safe way as well, and so I will say props to all of our administration and coaches for getting this done, and I know Grant and I are ready to go out and play some sports.
True. Gets outside competition.
Outside competition.
Tired of seeing the same people every day.
Exactly. You get tired. You get tired of playing against your own team. You want to go and you want to play against someone else. You start to learn your own team's tendencies, is where against someone else you have to think more, and it's more. You just have that extra level of competition when you play against someone else.
That Saturday, October 17th, is a doubleheader, so hopefully we can get a good amount of student and faculty out there to support the women's team as well as ourselves.
And hopefully you'll be hearing Grant and I on the call for when the men, the football team, host Adrian on the radio on 96.1 The Wit, as well as on the live stream. So hopefully you'll be hearing Grant and I's voice. We got to figure out if we're going to be able to have room in the press box for Grant and I, obviously, with everyone having to be 6 feet apart. And with Grant and I talking, we can't really wear masks. And so we're going to figure something out. Grant and I are going to be there. Expect to hear our voices calling the first football game of the fall. But we are going to move on to golf. And so the women's golf team, which would normally have their season this fall, were able to compete on Monday at Tiffin. And they took advantage of beautiful weather on Monday as the Beavers made the short trip to Tiffin to with the host Dragons, and Malone College was there as well. Bluffton dropped 12 strokes from its season opening 378 and finished with a 366 at Mohawk Country Club on September 14th. The 366 stands third on Bluffton's all-time 18-hole scoring list. Mohawk Country Club was also where the men's team made history at Mohawk when a dual match between them and Tiffin was the first authorized NCAA golf match since COVID hit. Grant, you got some results for us and a school record being broken?
Yeah, Haley Gill, 83 sophomore, 83 as I said, 40 on the back nine, so probably about four over. That's very impressive given the circumstances of not being able to practice as often. And then Briley Oberdorf, school mark, missed it by 85 or by two strokes with an 85, and she tied for sixth at Tiffin. Very impressive from them.
And the funny thing is that Haley Gill, sophomore, Briley Overdorf, junior, as well as Keely Briggs, who is a junior, all three of them have just been breaking each other's school records. So it just kind of keeps going like back and forth between the three. And so I'm sure we're going to continue to see that school record be broken. You know, none of them are seniors, so they still have at least 1 to 2 more years, as well as the rest of this season as well, to just continue to break each other's.
I bet there are conversations at the range every day.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure they're always heckling each other, but also encouraging each other, because if all three are shooting extremely low.
And pushing each other, every event, pushing each other to do better is only good for the team in general to drop low scores.
Exactly. And you know, sometimes golf is such a mental game, and a game where sometimes it's all just so much in your head that you sometimes have to be able to pick your other teammates up, and one person might be having a great day while another can't find the green to save their life, like me this weekend. Sophomore Marissa Hall chipped in with a 91, while Grace Branson and Meredith Obringer rounded out the Bluffton 5 with scores of 105 and 107, respectively. And we are going to move on. So the Beavers actually hosted a home doubleheader match. So they played at the Bluffton Golf Club on Saturday, and then they had the second part of the Beaver Classic on Sunday. And we do not have results from Sunday, but that is something from today. Let me rephrase that. Today, Sunday, September 20th. We will have the results and the overall team scores next week for you. But Grant, go ahead and let us know how the women did on Saturday.
The Haley Gill came in one stroke behind Oberdorf. Oberdorf shot an 89 while Haley Gill shot a 90. Grace Branson and Marissa Hall rounded out the scoring four with rounds of 96 and 99 respectively. And Meredith Obringer carded a 105. And Keely Briggs put together a 95, excuse me. And then freshman Kaylee Smith had her best collegiate score yet with a 103 at Bluffton Golf Course.
Same thing, right? Bluffton Golf Club, we'll make them happy by calling it by the right name. But the girls did finish with a 374, and so that is not too bad. 366 was the score that they had last week. But with the 374, they were in last place. Leading on day one was Indiana Tech with a 322. Behind them was Adrian College with 339, Olivet College with 344, Tiffin University at 364, and Bluffton rounded it out with 374. But it's a two-day event. You can always come back on day two. And you know, golf is such a fickle game that anything can really happen. So we will have the overall team scores and overall results and individuals for the women as well as the men next week. But the men did compete this week as well. They actually had a very busy weekend as they played on Friday, and then they hosted the Beaver Classic on Saturday and Sunday. But on Friday, they shot a 334 at the Irish Hills Intercollegiate match. And it kicked off a marathon weekend as they, like I said, they hosted the Beaver Classic on Saturday and Sunday. Leading the way for the men was junior Dominic Castrovilli, who shot a team low 78 on Friday, good for 10th at the Grande Golf Club in Jackson, Michigan. Fellow junior Spencer Daniels was three strokes back with an 81. Senior Dakota Pratt carded an 82, while sophomores Justin Metzger and Clay Quellhorse went 83 and 84, respectively. Bluffton just missed out on a fourth-place finish as tournament host Adrian fielded two teams, which tallied rounds of 328 and 333, so just one stroke behind Adrian's second team. And then go ahead, Grant, and give us the results on Saturday as Bluffton was able to host actually two teams.
Yeah, after they split the squads, so they had two teams that were separated by one stroke as one shot 330 and the other shot 331. Nathan Elberly paced the Beavers with a 79 on day one, and then three Beavers equaled each other with 82s, including Spencer Daniels, Clay Quailhorst, and Justin Met. One stroke back at A3 was DeMarc Durratt and Dominic Castrovilli. and Dakota Pratt chipped in at the 84 on Saturday, and Carter Mumbauer rounded out his squad scores with an 86 on day one of the Beaver Classic.
And both those rounds, men and women, played at Bluffton Golf Club, as Grant said beforehand. And day two was at Bluffton's second home course, which is at Hidden Creek over in Beaver Dam. And so hopefully we will get results from that and have that for you guys next week. Other than that, that was all for Bluffton Beaver Sports this week. But Grant, we have one other big news to talk about. The Big Ten football is back. What do you think about that? As an Ohio State fan, are you excited about being in Ohio? Are you an Ohio State fan, first off? And second off, are you excited about Big Ten football being back?
Yes, Ohio State football being back. Fantastic. Best team in the country coming into the year. That's without a doubt.
Definitely going to be a very scary team. And it should also be interesting because a lot of these teams, like the ACC, started 2 weeks before even the SEC's playing, and then they're going to start way before Big Ten, and so they're going to be kind of sitting around waiting to see how the Big Ten is kind of finishing, for then to see how the college football playoff's going to end up. So that could be a long time for them having to wait if they decide to wait. You know, that's still a talk. Will the college football playoff committee wait until the entire Big Ten season's over to announce their four? It's definitely going to be a very weird year. But it's also going to be weird not seeing the shoe filled up. What about you, Grant?
Very one of the most intimidating crowds in college football. Not being able to be there and impact the game is it's going to be different. But with the offense, they returned back with Justin Fields leading the charge, and you know the wide receiver core they have, and the defense coming back, and it should be very interesting. And arguably a very soft schedule. Avoided Minnesota. Cross divisional game, avoided Wisconsin, who are both going to be very good teams in the Big Ten this year. Just a lot of chirping from Michigan fans about how the Big Ten, you know, gave them a hard schedule and whatever. It's just, I mean, they're just going to come down and get beat by 50 every year. It's whatever.
Last game of the year, Michigan will be traveling to Ohio State. Does give away that scare tactic a little bit without having the shoe filled, but still a very hard place to come and play at, especially with just how good and how well-rounded this Ohio State football team is. Me as a Notre Dame fan, we're getting the job done on our end, and we can't really worry about what other conferences are doing. We just have to go in and compete in the ACC.
In an actual conference.
We joined an actual conference. Kind of weird, but we can compete in the ACC championship. So I'd like to see us and Clemson there and battling it out for a chance to make the college football playoff, which I think it should be pretty exciting.
Hopefully not get 30-pieced in a national televised game against Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that. But Alabama got beat by more points than we did, so we'll just leave that out there.
We don't talk about that right now.
Grant also is a little bit of an Alabama fan. But welcome to the new Beaver Dam, and this is going to be the voices that you hear, Patrick Spellman and Grant Ingham. And Grant, I can't wait for the rest of the year. We're going to be hopefully calling that football game. I'm going to try and do whatever we got to do to get that done. And then as well, you're going to hear us calling every single basketball game that is at home, which we've already gotten that worked out. So you will be hearing our voice on 96.1 The Wit, as well as on the live stream. So Grant, welcome to the Beaver Dam. We're happy to have you, man.
I'm happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to the year. And, roll Beavs.
Roll Beavs. And that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening. Encourage you to come back and listen to us every Sunday at 7 p.m. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. The Wit 961 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaver Dam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Patrick Spellman, joined along with Grant Ingham, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
We'll be